tides arise and come away. Come, my love, oh, come and meet me. Rise, arise and come away. Winter's dark will soon be over.
Rejoice in that glorious truth of Jesus coming again. And so very quickly we are confident of that. Let's turn this morning to the third chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 3. And we will begin with verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by or through the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We would continue these messages on the mysteries of God, and today I want to speak on the fellowship of the mystery. As we read here in verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now, it is very important to understand that we have already covered the mystery itself, because that is found, as Paul is talking about here, that a dispensation of the message, a dispensation of the grace of God and the truth has been committed unto him. We found out that that is the church. It is the time when God has joined together the Jew and Gentile in Christ. And we also noticed how that the one mystery, the blindness of Israel, how that actually facilitated bringing in of the Gentile into God's purposes and plans. We've seen all of that. I want to speak of the fellowship of this same mystery. And it is very interesting for us, and it will be very profitable for us to understand what Paul is talking about. And so let us continue here. Let's just begin with verse 9 once again, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That was Paul's purpose, is to draw men into fellowship. Now, when we speak of fellowship, that simply indicates becoming a part of something. You become joined to something. It is a fellowship. We've had fellowship meetings, joined together here, one with another, even in spirit. And so he's speaking of the fellowship of this mystery. That was, and he's talking about the mystery being hidden from the beginning of the world, that is the church age, as we have discovered and seen. And then God created all things by Jesus Christ. But in verse 10, what is the intent? What is the purpose of knowing or being a part of this fellowship of the mystery? It's found in verse 10. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by, or rather through, the church, the manifold wisdom of God. The purpose of this fellowship is for God to make a point to Satan. And God is using us in order to make that point. Now that's not a new thing, as we're going to see here in just a little bit. And we are so fortunate to have these patterns set before us that we know exactly how we should walk. But just think of it in this matter. God is using me in order to deliver a message to Satan. This may explain some of the things that we are going through, that many of God's people are going through today. But God is using us in order to make a point, or to prove a point, so to speak, unto Satan. Now, what he wants to do is to convey the manifold wisdom of God unto Satan, as we read here, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known through the church the manifold wisdom of God. And he is wanting to speak that. He's going to make that known unto Satan himself, again using our lives to do it. What is the wisdom of God? We know that it means he does certain things in different ways and things like that. We're not going to turn there, but be sure and make a note of a couple of verses that I want to quote here. The wisdom of God, simply stated, is Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says it this way: of him, that is of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. And there are three expressions of that wisdom: righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Those three terms describe spirit, soul, and body, which is a sermon all its own. 1 Corinthians 1:22 says it this way: the Jews require a sign. If you go back through the scripture, that is absolutely the truth. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but Paul says, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But verse 24 says, unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, we preach Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so when you think of wisdom, just think Jesus. Wisdom is embodied in him. And of course, this is exactly what God wants to put on display in our lives in order to give this message indeed unto Satan himself. God has used different ones in order to convey this message to Satan. We have one of them here, so let's just back up just a little bit to Ephesians 3:1. I want to trace Paul's journey down to where he finally concludes what he's trying to say to these people. And as we read these things, keep in mind that this is simply the pattern for our own lives. As I said, we are so very fortunate. We know what God wants to do. He wants to put Christ on display in my life to send a message to Satan himself. But we are fortunate to have the path that others have set before us in order to know how to do that. And so let's begin in verse 1. For this cause, Paul says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And this is what you and I must become, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know what a prisoner is? He's one that don't make his own decisions. They tell him what to do, where to go, when to speak, what to do, all of these various things. He is under another control. This is what God is wanting. We must surrender that control unto him. And Paul says here, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I am under the control of Christ Jesus. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. And Paul knew that. He knew that God chose him to be a minister of the Gentile. Peter was chosen to be a minister apostle to the Jew. But Paul's specific ministry was to the Gentile. And so he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Once again, that dispensation is an entire age known as the church age. It's lasted over 2,000 years. Paul is over that. The problem today is men do not acknowledge the Apostle Paul, the apostleship of the Apostle Paul. And so they do not really pay attention to his writings. Doesn't make any difference what others may do. We must understand and adhere to the message that Paul has been given for us. And so if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, the church age, which is given me to you. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made unto me, made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. Revelation. I have known some marvelous teachers down through the ages. When I came to Bible school, I had some tremendous teachers. But let us understand this. We cannot just repeat verbatim what some teacher has said and expect it to go very far. We have to have a revelation of our own. You can have the greatest teacher in the world that there ever was, but the revelation has to be our own. And what I mean by that, it has to be so clear to me that it seems as though I came up with the idea. That's how real it has to be. And so this is the revelation that we have to have. And so Paul says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. When he says here, as I wrote in a few words, it's a reference to Ephesians 1:9, where he speaks of exactly the same message of Jew and Gentile being brought together. And so that is the mystery, but he wanted them to understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And indeed it was in other ages not made known. Church age was hidden down through the years of the Old Testament. I don't care how spiritual many of those were, and they were spiritual, yet they did not have that revelation of the church age. But God revealed that. God reserved that for such an unlikely man as Saul of Tarsus. God uses so many unlikely subjects, it's pitiful, but nevertheless, he knows exactly what he is doing. And so it was hidden in other ages. It was not made known to the sons of men, but it's now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. And again, it is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. We Gentiles, unclean heathen, have been admitted into this glorious place where we have access to these glorious mysteries that which we have been speaking over the last few weeks. And so Paul says in verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Again, all power and all ability given back indeed unto God. And so this wisdom of God once again is Christ Jesus. And it is so important that we have that desire that Christ should be on display in our lives, even as it was in the life of the Apostle Paul. And he put that on display before the saints of God. He was not just telling them empty words and things like that. He was living the message before them, and let that be a message to every minister. You must live the message before the one that you are giving it to. Another one that is very instrumental along this same line, has been instrumental. We have seen him quite a number of times, and we're not going to turn to the book of Job, but it is such a tremendously interesting book. And just to paraphrase a few things and to give a little summary of what happened here insofar as Job and Satan are concerned, and we find that Job was going along at high speed, so to speak, and Satan, with the destroyer, always out to destroy God's handiwork, always against God. God just asked him, well, where you been, Satan? He said, I've been going up and down the earth, all of this. He knew what he was doing, who he was looking for. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? Well, yes, I have, but you put a hedge about him and I can't reach him. And then Satan just says, you take that hedge down, let me attack you, and he'll curse you to your face. God says, I'll take that challenge. I'll remove the hedge. You attack him. But Job will not do that. And Job, that God proved to be exactly right. We find out that never did Job curse God. Now, here's another lesson that you and I have to learn. Because we may be used. Satan may use us in that way. I know there are many that greatly malign Job's wife when she told Job, curse God and die. I've gone on record many times saying Job's wife was just as spiritual as he was. Satan simply used her good intentions. She loved her husband. She was trying to protect her husband. She saw him in such deep misery. And so she simply said that, curse God and die. Just get out of this. He called her a foolish woman at that time. But nevertheless, I want to notice that none of us are so spiritual that Satan can't use our good intentions to achieve his own end at times. We need to beware of that. And we also need to beware it may be used against us in the same manner. And so we find out that she said, just curse God and die. And of course, Job refused to do that. The beauty of this is, Job went on to express the glorious truth of what God was trying to do, reveal Christ in him. Job finally understood. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The gold is none other than the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the wisdom we've been talking about. Deity, God's wisdom in Christ that is revealed in us, through us, put on display in our lives. And Job claimed that when he said, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." That goal was for the benefit, sending a message to Satan that here is wisdom on display in the life of Job. And that's exactly what God did at that time. Wisdom manifest right before the very eyes of Satan. And he had to acknowledge and admit it. There was another man that also is a great example for us. His name is Joseph. He was sold into slavery. We don't see that Satan just doesn't come out and say that Satan was behind that, but we know he was by the thing that he said after it was all over and Joseph had been redeemed, and we'll see here in just a moment. He told his brethren, "You meant it for evil." Well, evil comes from Satan. And so you meant it for evil. And so it was Satan who delivered Joseph into the hands of these men who delivered him down into Egypt. But consider what God did. Yes, Joseph went to prison. But do you know also that God brought him out of that prison and he made him prime minister over the land of Egypt? And he was able to give such care and benefit to his own people of Israel. That's when wisdom is on display in the life of Joseph. He had to go through all of these things, but that's exactly what God was doing. Even through this, all of these evil things and all of these things against him, satanic oppression and all of this, God still put Christ on display in the life of Joseph. And again, he became that prime minister, which was such a benefit to the nation of Israel. And so we actually have three major examples that we can follow today. We have seen it in the Apostle Paul, in his life. Paul told Timothy, "You know my doctrine." He says, "You also need to remind them of my ways which be in Christ Jesus." And the ways which are in Christ Jesus are those ways that manifest this wisdom in his own life. Then, of course, again, we have Joseph, whose life was put on display and the things that he went through. And, of course, Job, as we have seen. I want to go back. We're going to close with verse 10 once again of our chapter here in Ephesians. To the intent that now, and it means that, it means right now, in this day. People talk about how wicked and how things are and how things have changed. Discount all of that. God has the same intent. I don't care what conditions are around the world or in our midst, in our families, or anything of this nature. Let us remember this, to the intent that now we want to understand what God wants for my life right now at this very time and moment, to the intent now, today, under the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, in the heavenlies, might be known through the church, or more specifically, through my life, the manifold wisdom of God. And so let's consider today the things that you may be going through. And I know that there are many who are going through a great number of things in body and many other different things. Let's consider it this way. God is just using all of those things to send a message to Satan that wisdom prevails in this life. He wants to see wisdom, Christ, as a message to Satan in this mortal body. Shall we sing?